Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
In all seriousness, I think that the going back that one ESPN screwed up.
Oh yeah, revisiting the glory days. Here we go.
Listen. Hello. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to another Russian edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am your host, Pod Vader. Russian? What does that have to do with anything? Well, you'll find out a little bit later on in the show. But for the time being, this is the Wednesday interviews episode. Every Wednesday, I will bring in a special guest. We'll talk about football. We'll talk about life outside of football. We'll talk about things related to football. And there was no time like the present to bring in our special guest this week. You already know who it is because you've read the title of the show. You've seen the social media. It's Robert Flores of the now of the MLB Network. But one of the guys I used to work with at ESPN, he's the last one that I've had a reunion with, a former ESPNer that I finally got back together again. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. And we're going to talk about the upcoming season, some of the storylines he's watching. And we'll, as you heard in the tease, we're going to talk about a little bit about the good old days of the Football Today podcast at ESPN. Hey, we want to hear from you. Send us your emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. If you're interested in becoming a super fan, we have a few openings still. The Detroit Lions, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I also believe the Tennessee Titans are currently available for you to represent. Send us those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can follow us at NFU Podcast. And of course, we're available on Facebook. All of our previews, the super fans are busy writing up their previews for the week one matchups right now in the NFL. And some of those have been trickling in. So you can always go to facebook.com/NFU podcast. Check out those previews. We hope to have them all in there before the Thursday kickoff. Obviously, we'll have to, we're still working on scheduling. Listen, hurting 32 different people that live all across the world, not just America, is a difficult job. And when I already have a regular job and a family, well, you know, it gets to be a little bit too much work for Jay. Enough about that. Let's get to our very special guest. And so I do bring in a very good friend of mine from days of yore. He is the last former ESPNer that I have yet to do a reunion with. And I must admit, it's my own fault. I've been waiting for that perfect opportunity and then finally came to the realization the perfect opportunity is never going to come up. So now is more than perfect. And with that, I introduce you to Robert Flores. Robert, hello.
Hey, man, how are you?
I am doing fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You're right. This has been way too long. I'm glad we could chat for a little bit.
I am super happy to have you, and I apologize for not having you on sooner. It's been one of those instances where it's like, all right, when are the Texans going to become relevant? When are the Texans going to become
hey
relevant?
Now. They just won the division last year. Granted, they didn't score a point in the playoffs and got blown out at home, but still.
See, that's the sort of thing that we can do with each other. But I think the Texans have a strong team. I think it's their division this year.
I would agree with that. I mean, the thing that concerns me is their offensive line. Derek Newton has been battling and some health problems trying to get on the field. Same thing for Dwayne Brown, their offensive tackle. Also, J.J. Watt, hasn't done anything the preseason after back surgery, so he's set to play. I think Derek Newton's going to play. Dwayne Brown, I don't think it will play in the opener against the Chicago Bears. But, when you look at their division, Jacksonville will be better. I think Tennessee will be better, and the Colts stink. So I agree with you. I think it's their division to win.
I don't. I actually have them winning a first round playoff game and then ultimately losing to the Chiefs in the semifinals of the conference.
How dare you?
Well, again, I like the Texans. We were the little Texans last year for my son's flag football team.
Yeah, there we go.
But this year they're not my boyfriends. So although they weren't really my boyfriends last year either. anyway.
Right.
What are some of the storylines you've got your eyes on this upcoming NFL season as we're only 24 hours away from kickoff?
I think in addition to, you know, following my Texans, I think the NFC East is going to be really interesting because the Dallas Cowboys are going to be without Tony Romo. They're going to have a rookie, Dak Prescott. The Philadelphia Eagles, I guess, have just basically said, we don't really care about 2016. How good are they going to be? So who's winning that division? Is it the Giants, who I have some serious concerns about, or is it Washington? I don't know. I also have concerns about Kirk Cousins moving forward. Tremendous year last year, but he has yet to beat a team with a winning record in his career. So all of these teams have serious question marks, and I really don't know who's going to win the division. Also, I think your Patriots are infinitely interesting, as always. What are they going to look like in the four games without Tom Brady? I still suspect they will be in the mix every time we count them out, every time we say, is this the year? Is this the year that someone takes the AFC East from the New England Patriots, and every year we are proven wrong? And I suspect that will be once again the case this year.
I don't think I've heard that this year at all, though. I don't think anybody thinks the Jets or the Bills or the Dolphins are real, you know, true contenders this year.
I think that people, when you look at the rest of the division, you know, how much faith do you have in the Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick facing a much more difficult schedule than they did last year? How much faith do you have in the Buffalo Bills? I think that their defense will be significantly better than it was last year. So that's a help. I do like Tyrod Taylor quite a bit, but as I said, I don't see any of those other teams overtaking the Patriots ultimately.
Well, I mean, the Bills ultimately hurt themselves by hiring Rob Ryan.
You know, make no mistake about it. Rex Ryan is the guy calling the plays, game planning, and Rob sure has a big part of that. To be fair to Rob Ryan, and ultimately went on, and I'm not sure he had the personnel to make that work. But the great sign or sign of a great coach is ultimately able to tailor your game planning, your scheme, the way you coach players, tailoring to their abilities. I mean, look, I don't particularly, I'm not fond of Bill Belichick, but I think it's one of the reasons he's arguably the greatest coach in the history of the NFL is because he tailors his person. You know, the Patriots aren't concerned about what their players can't do. They're more concerned about what they can do and going forward with that. That's the basic premise, and I think that's why they're the best organization in football.
Yeah, isn't that a great way to coach? Let's take what we do best and just, you know, hyper that. By the way, you mentioned the Jets and trusting the Jets. Let's see if you can pick out their first victory amongst their first eight games of the season. They are on the road. No, I'm sorry. They're hosting the Bengals this coming Sunday. Okay. I don't see a W for the Jets there.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
They are then at Buffalo on a short week Thursday. If I'm going to be fair in terms of looking at division games, because we all know division games are different than other games, I'm going to take the home team, especially on a short week. But I will say in their defense, it is a winnable game, but I like Buffalo in that one.
I do too. I'm more likely to think that the Jets have a better chance at home against the Bengals than on the road on a short week at Buffalo. Mm. You know, the Cincinnati Bengals, they've got some key questions to, you know, how is this offense going to look without Hugh Jackson calling the plays? Andy Dalton for me is always a question mark. Gio Bernard, Jeremy Hill, So I think that if you're giving me two games to pick where is a win going to come from the Jets, I would go in that season opener at home against the Bengals.
And considering it is the Bengals, I agree. The Bengals do have question marks. It's a questionable W. Then at Kansas City versus Seattle, at Pittsburgh, at Arizona, that's a four-game streak where you ain't winning a game.
Yeah, it is always difficult to, do this because things happen from week to week, injuries, et cetera. But that's what I was talking about. Ryan Fitzpatrick had a tremendous season last year, but the schedule it's brutal.
Versus Baltimore and then at Cleveland, finally week 8, I see them going 1-7 to start the season.
All right, so who do they have week 3?
At Arrowhead.
Oof. Okay. What about week 4? Let's see.
They host the Seahawks.
Good Lord. I'm looking for a win here, seriously.
They don't have one. I mean, Baltimore is another one of those maybes because they're hosting Baltimore. Baltimore is not the Baltimore of old.
Week 5, they're at Pittsburgh, and the Steelers will, of course, have Le'Veon Bell back by that time. good gracious.
Yeah, it's their first half of the season is ridiculous. Now, I've only mentioned their first half. The second half is a little bit easier. At Miami, they host the Rams of, the Los Angeles Rams of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
They get their bye week before they host New England. Then they host the Colts. They're at, your favorite player's home stadium in San Francisco, the real American, Blaine Gabbert.
That could be a win.
Then they host Miami. Then they're at New England. And then the last game of the year, they host Buffalo. I mean, the Jets schedule is not a pretty sight.
Mm-mm. They also, earlier in the season, they got a Monday night game against the Arizona Cardinals. I would think right now that's my pick. The Cardinals are my pick to come out of the NFC. So, it could be, the Jets could take a significant step back, and I'm not sure that I could place any blame on, because they had to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, right? Because you don't want, no one wants Geno playing, that's for sure.
Right.
So I think it's going to be very, very tough. The crazy thing is that they're going to keep four quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. That's what Todd Bowles said yesterday. I can't recall a team keeping four quarterbacks. So on the
53. It's just not good practice, Broflo. It's just in this day and age of the NFL, it's just not good practice.
And Christian Hackenberg, he may be able to play, but he can't play right now. I can tell you that. Bryce Petty, I still don't know if he can play. And we all know that Geno Smith can't play. So if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt, as bleak as that season projection sounded, it could get a lot bleaker if Ryan Fitzpatrick gets hurt.
You mentioned the Cardinals in the NFC. One of the scenarios that I painted out when I did my preseason predictions, which people can go back and listen to if they subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. I like the Packers this year to have the easiest schedule. They have the easiest schedule to me by far of any team this season. So I like them to ultimately have the best record this year at 14-12. But I have the Panthers, Cardinals, and Seahawks all tied at 13-3 right behind them. And because of tiebreakers, the Cardinals with that 13-3 will ultimately be the fifth seed in the in the playoffs, according to the way that my win losses
went. Back, look, with our history, I know how miserable you are at predicting things. So I'm not, inevitably we would do these shows where we would make predictions and then you would be like, for some reason you'd had like four teams going 13-3. So, I don't know if that's ultimately going to happen. So.
Oh, that's going to happen. It's going to happen. And when it does, you're going to hear it here first. speaking of fun, I was on your Twitter feed. For those of you who are not following at Rowflow, you should be. And I came across this question that you got from one of your followers. What's worse, a grown man bringing a glove to a baseball game or a wrestling fan bringing a replica belt to a wrestling show?
Yeah, if people aren't that don't follow me or don't catch me on MLB Network, I have a thing where it's kind of a tongue in cheek, trollish kind of saying. It's hashtag stop adults with gloves. I just think that if you are a person old enough to drive, you should not be bringing a baseball glove to a stadium.
Old enough to drive. So now you're putting teenagers in there.
That's correct. Hmm. If you're old enough to drive, you don't need to be bringing your glove to a baseball stadium.
What if you're old enough to drive and you haven't attained your license yet?
Well, it still counts. I'm just kind of using that as the benchmark. So I, 16 is the cutoff. If you're 15 and you want to bring your glove, okay, I'll look at you a little sideways and snicker at you, but that's fine. But if you're 16 and you're strolling up to the stadium with your glove, security should have the right to take that away from you.
I took my son to see SmackDown Live recently here in Connecticut. Not only were there replica belts, but I noticed that they had in football language, it would be like buying the authentic replica jersey. They also had authentic replica belt for like $450.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. someone also put, on this discussion on my Twitter feed that, about the replica belt question, they tweeted that it would be like someone bringing a replica Lombardi trophy to an NFL game, which I thought just made for a fantastic visual. But yes, that also too should be disallowed. And really, Pod, this goes back to when you and I were doing our ESPN podcast. I had the jersey rules,
which I still disagree with to this day.
Which were infinitely controversial with members of the listeners. But those are hard and fast rules, and this is much along those lines where these are hard and fast rules. So it's, once again, it's a hashtag stop adults with gloves.
I'm down with hashtag stop adults with gloves, but let's get to this practice squad controversy, because how did you and M-Dub end up owning the practice squad? How did I not get a little piece of this action here?
Well, first of all, there really is no action to be gained. It's not like there was any merchandising opportunities that you missed out on. I had always thought that it was M-Dub's idea that he came up with the practice squad, but some combination of I had just thrown it out there. Hey, our fans should have a name. And I thought it was, like I said, either you or M-Dub or both that came up with that name. And my relationship with the domestic side of the practice squad was tenuous at best. Some didn't care for me. I didn't care for most of them. But the international members of our listeners, I could not have enjoyed them more. I enjoyed the interaction with them. I enjoyed their questions. So my experience with the international members of our, you know, listeners of the of our show, infinitely more enjoyable.
Neil is our Washington Redskins super fan. He represents the Redskins on this podcast. He's a he's a huge fan of yours.
Oh, really? Well, that, yeah, and that's not to say that, I am not painting all domestic members of the aforementioned practice squad with this broad brush. There were some that were very nice, very very smart, had a great, you know, questions or interactions, couldn't have been better. But I would term as a whole that the domestic side of our listeners were, my experience wasn't great. I didn't put, like I said, many of them didn't enjoy me, and a lot of them, I felt the same way. It was mutual. But in all seriousness, I think that the going back that one, ESPN screwed up when the, you know, the way that it played out from when it went to Ross Tucker to me, they screwed that up because, you know, Ross brought an experience that there's no way I can't replicate that experience. I didn't play in the NFL. So to go, you know, from that to me, I can understand why people would have a problem with it because it became a different show.
Right.
You know, because like I said, I can't do what Ross did. And quite frankly, there's a couple things that I'm sure I did that he can't. So it just became a different show. And the way ESPN kind of brought me in probably could have been handled better. And you and I know that there's a lot of things that ESPN could have done with not just our podcast, but really that podcast format genre. They could have done a lot better. It wasn't just our show that they ignored, but it, you know, ours, it was just really the whole podcast format. And I give you and Matthew Berry and Eric Carabel and a lot of the other people that worked on the Baseball Tonight podcast that I know that you had a part of, really kind of taking this format of podcasting and, you know, being like the little engine that could and ignored and underappreciated in a lot of respects and really taking it to a new level. So I think that you guys and that Stefania Bell also should get credit for really taking the in that space and creating some interesting shows.
Well, thank you, Rofo. I appreciate the kind words. And by the way, I'm told Vladimir Putin's on line 3 right now.
Okay, when I said that one of the things that was my fault, that was my fault. You know, we had this thing. You know, I love.
Listen,
humor.
I supported the idea from the get go. I liked it. I was
like,
"Hey, let's do it."
You know what? Truthfully, I think that you deserve some blame too, because you should have said, "You know what? Don't do it. Just don't do it." But you were being the good soldier, and you must have been thinking, "There's no way that this is going to work." But okay, if that's what he wants to do, whatever. But yeah, I think that I think that was one of the things that, you know, trying that bit, and I think we had Tim Tebow's fake high school coach on.
Oh yeah,
which I still think was very funny. But it just wasn't, like I said, it just became a different show, and I think it became too different for a lot of people. To be fair, I think once I got that kind of out of my system, it became a really good show. M-Dub and I had, Matt Williamson and I had developed a great chemistry. I think he's a very smart football mind, a keen eye of judging talent, and has a unique way of explaining particular things about the game, which makes him very talented and valuable. I think we developed a nice show. You know, we had some great guests, and not just from the ESPN umbrella, but from all walks of, you know, both former players, current players, other writers from outside of ESPN. So I really think it became a good show. And it was one of the things that I miss to this day, because I really enjoyed doing that show.
Well, you never know. There's always a way to make magic happen once again. And
yeah, man,
you know, we're all no longer there. There's no reason why the three of us can't get together on a show once in a while.
Yeah, you never know. I think it would
be good old days.
I still keep in contact with M-Dub quite frequently. You know, like I said, I think he's very, very talented, and I would welcome the opportunity to, you know, work with you guys both down the road.
Nice. That's what we like to hear. where can people find you, Roflow?
Well, tonight, you know, really just I'm on MLB Network. Once hockey season starts, I'll be on NHL Network for just a few times every now and then. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Roflow, and there's some other things that, you know, cooking up right now that hopefully we're in the early planning stages that come to fruition, and hopefully people will come to enjoy those as well.
Excellent. Thanks for joining me on my show, and we would love to have you back whenever you want.
You got it, man.
You can even call me on line three because Vladimir's not there.
It's the epic win.
So there goes Robert Flores. Please do follow him at Roflow and keep your ears open. There might be a few things coming up down the road that I think a man with his talents might be able to fill. One of the other aspects of this Wednesday show, as you might know, is I'm involved in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. And we will have, usually on this Wednesday show, I'm going to attempt to have my opponent on probably the week after we play. That way we can sort of send our thoughts to each other after the game. But maybe it'd be more fun to do before the game. But I learned last year when I did it before the matchup, I ended up jinxing myself. So yes, I admit I'm trying to avoid any sort of jinxing. But this week I am facing fantasy insider Joel Hanard. So it should be a very interesting matchup. I have Ben Roethlisberger. He has Cam Newton. Interesting, ESPN has me at the advantage. Big Ben going up against the Redskins on Monday Night Football, at least game one of Monday Night Football. Cam Newton in the kickoff game tomorrow night at Denver. I don't know. I would lean more towards Cam Newton in that one. My running backs are Eddie Lacy and Matt Forte. He's going with Jeremy Hill and Jeremy Langford. I think Eddie Lacy has definitely got the advantage on Jeremy Hill just due to the split carries there with Giovanni Bernard. And Hill is facing the New York Jets. While you heard me make fun of the Jets, they do still have a pretty decent defense. So in terms of fantasy, Jeremy Hill's not necessarily a guy that I would target to start this week. And Forte versus Langford, I think they have Langford with the check mark here in terms of advantage on ESPN.com. I'm not so sure that that's an advantage for him, but I don't know. Guess we'll have to see. Langford going against the Texans and Forte going against those aforementioned Cincinnati Bengals. My wide receivers are Dez Bryant, Brandon Cooks. He has Antonio Brown, Alshon Jeffrey. I gladly acquiesced in that battle. My tight end is Gronk. His tight end is Delanie Walker. I've mentioned this numerous times. I still like Gronk as the number one overall tight end, but I do think in these first 4 weeks, New England, Garoppolo is going to lean heavily on Martellus Bennett. So I would watch that first game, that Sunday night game against Arizona, very carefully. One thing I do got for me, it is against Arizona, and historically Arizona has not defended the tight end very well. My flex is Golden Tate. His flex is Emmanuel Sanders. Again, the check mark went to my favor. Maybe it was just because he got the check mark for Jeremy Langford. I would give the check mark to Emmanuel Sanders. My Panthers D versus his Patriots defense. I have the check mark there. I like that. Mason Crosby and Graham Gano. Well, I you know my position on kickers. I don't like to talk about them that much. So, hey, subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any of our shows. Wednesdays, we have interviews. Thursdays, we have all of the previews. We're going to have super fan battles for you tomorrow. And I can tell you right now, it has been guaranteed because it's in the books. We have the Broncos and the Panthers superfans going at it for week one in the NFL. I also know that we'll have a Redskins-Steelers superfan battle. And if we don't, it's a guarantee because both those guys will be on the Thursday show. And then we'll have recaps on late Sunday night, early Monday morning. Our Seattle superfan will be producing a very late night podcast when the last Sunday night football game comes to an end. He'll be putting it all together and putting it out there as soon as he possibly can so that you can have your recaps first thing in the morning. So I do suspect not only will we provide you with the perspective of all 32 teams from the perspective of the fan, but you will also have your very first recap. I don't believe there'll be any other podcast out there before ours. So you can subscribe on iTunes and make sure that you get that podcast. And of course, you can follow us at NFU Podcast on Twitter. They'll always be on our Twitter. And you can also follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. You'll be able to get the podcast there. You can follow me at The Real Pod Vader. I might be a little slow in posting the podcast on Monday mornings, but I will definitely do my best to make sure that the podcast is available for you to listen to whenever you want, however you want. It's the beauty of podcasts. It's what we do. And so with that, I encourage you to tune in again tomorrow for our week one NFL previews. We'll be giving you a little bit of fantasy advice, a little bit of gambling advice, and of course, the perspective of the fan, because we're by the fan for the fan. And on our last note, it is always Jeff Fisher who has learned exactly how long a football game is. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.